Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome, everybody, to a celebratory night. It is Spits and Suds post-game edition, Game 5. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. I can honestly say DFW's number one hockey podcast is Spits and Suds. I'm joined by EP Ringside, Shap Shots, D Magazine. The book is called We Win Here. His name is Sean Shapiro. Once again, Sean, do you have a Frosty in front of you? I keep forgetting to have a Frosty in front of. There will be a Frosty in front of me before this podcast is over.
I had one earlier tonight. I had one mid game, so
that's nice.
That's the one. It's the one. Someone on Twitter the other day said something along the lines of the. It's like they invented like the work beer, and I said clearly that person's not a sports writer because the work beer is a common it's a reason that I think some people get into this profession. The work beer is a common thing.
Absolutely. I just need a Sean Shapiro lengthened answer and I will get myself a beer. Oh, my goodness. We have so many questions to get to, but that's okay. That's great. Thank you so much for all of you that support and grow Spits and Suds. What a night in Vegas. The Dallas Stars pull off what many thought wouldn't happen, and they move on to a game six back at the AAC on Monday night. Sean, give me your thoughts. I'll give you mine real quick. I love what the Stars did tonight. I mean, I'm just like, guys, bottle this. Clearly, this is what it's all about. Getting into the dirty areas. They created so much havoc in front of Adin Hill, who I thought was brilliant tonight. And they just kept going to the net and crashing the net. And that first line and that fourth line were so good tonight for the Stars. I think they threw Vegas off their game. I think the Vegas defensemen are having to work now, so they're not easily getting out of their zone, which wasn't the case early in the series. And now it's like, you know, Messier pointed this out actually in the postgame for ESPN, and it's a great point. It feels like it's flipped because now I feel like Vegas is shooting from the outside and it's actually the Stars that are getting in the dirty areas. So really, really exciting night. What did you see?
Yeah. I mean, we're at the spot where it kind of flipped in game four, right? Where all the pressure, I mean, the Stars, basically, we all had them dead and buried after game three. We were in the building in game three. Felt like a morgue after our podcast after game three. We felt like it was just the prelude to the end of the season. We felt like it was the end, and now they still have to win two more games. They have to do it's still an uphill climb, but all of a sudden you're like, and I'm intentionally using a Vegas pun here, you're playing with house money. This team was dead, nearly buried. Uh-huh. And now they are headed home. They have a chance to, they've headed home to a house that will be absolutely rocking. They have a chance to force a game seven. They will be getting their emotional leader back, who will be looking obviously to have a big performance after how he's basically been absent, has been absent the last three games. And all of the pressure is on the Golden Knights. If the Stars lose this series, if they lose this series now, it's, you know what? You valiantly fought back, but in the end, you didn't do it. Vegas is the one where everything's feeling internal. Like, to me, this game, I look at Aiden Hill's performance as a microcosm of this series, kind of, where he was playing great. He had some dazzling saves.
Yeah, he did.
And they had some dazzling saves. And then in the third period, some duds. And all of a sudden, every shot Dallas took felt uneasy. Every Dallas chance felt like the world was going to crackle underneath for Vegas. And you've now put that feeling in Vegas' minds. And obviously, you would still expect Vegas to win this series. They just have to win one of the two. But you can see the path now. You can see the path where the Stars could do something no one has ever done before. And you did it with an overall strong, strong performance. And we'll get into some more exact schematics as we go into this game. But overall, the big feeling is, you know what? It's now, like, 2 nights ago, I still would have said, yeah, there's no way they're winning this series. Now the answer is no longer no way they're winning this series. It's they could win this series.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. Kudos to Ty Dellandrea with a big game. Glenn Denning, I don't know how you take him out of the lineup. I guess that's going to be the first question that I'm going to ask. And I am looking ahead, but mm-hmm. The thing I like that I try to do on this podcast is propel what Stars fans want to hear to the front of the line. And I think Stars fans with the return of Jamie Benn are wondering who leaves the lineup. And that's a good thing Pete DeBoer has to worry about. But yeah. I'm kind of fascinated. I don't think they'll do it, but honestly, I think Mason Marchment could be a candidate. But like I said, I don't think they'll do it. Because I like Olofsson tonight a lot. I like Glenn Denning a lot tonight. I like Dellandrea a lot tonight. I'm guessing Olofsson will be the odd man out. Pretty tough to sit a guy with two goals. But, I mean, it's an interesting aspect that I'm sure will be talked about in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we're definitely – I mean, this is the whole point of this playoff series, right, is we're spinning things forward. Now, I think it's – to me, it's Olofsson who comes out. I think that's the pretty clear who comes out. Now, the Marchment decision would be a fascinating one because, like, yeah, I'm just looking at it right now. Olofsson was the least used Stars player tonight. 10-33 time on ice, least used player. The other guys who would consider coming out, Kiviranta, who helped create the second Dellandrea goal. I think he was really good on the forecheck tonight.
Yeah.
Luke Glendening, who is one of the reasons Glendening stays in the lineup is because of his faceoff prowess. So he's not going to come out. And then he scored tonight too. So he's not going to come out, but Mason Marchment only played a minute and 20 more than Olofsson tonight. And so it will be Olofsson that comes out,
mm-hmm.
but, you also, I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest thing to look at the lineup and say, let's plug Jamie Benn in alongside Johnston and Sagan and keep that bottom six the way it is. Like that wouldn't be the craziest thing. It won't happen. I would imagine Fredrik Olofsson comes out. That's the way these things work.
Yep.
But I could definitely see the case and argument to be made for Marchment coming out and Benn going into that spot.
Yeah. Yeah. It is going to be interesting. And I agree with you. But I think what you said is a great point. The time on ice with Mason Marchment, one penalty in the game, and it was Marchment that went off, and it was too bad because it was behind the play and just a needless penalty. And I thought the Stars did a great job of killing it. And obviously that was led by Jake Oettinger, which leads me to my question for you. I mean, the last two games, I think we've seen really good Jake Oettinger, vintage Jake Oettinger. I think both goals were legit goals tonight for Vegas. You know, you could tell Vegas is trying to go high on Oettinger, and they succeeded on one of the goals. So, but I thought overall his just positioning, his calmness, his demeanor, you could tell he was in control, his puck carrying behind the net. He just made all the right moves tonight and was just really, really solid in net.
Yeah, I mean, Aiden Hill filled the highlight reel. He will. I mean, you're going to watch, I mean, Aiden Hill, the save on Hintz, the save on Kiviranta, those will both be in the SportsCenter top 10, I'm sure. But Ottinger's performance, I love the way he aggressively was at the top of his crease, was reading plays well. He was just so technically solid tonight. And he was very good. He calmed the team down. And I mean, I don't, there's now a large enough sample size to do it. I think early on it was Jake Ottinger facing elimination. It was a fun storyline, but there wasn't enough sample size yet for it to be something that was like at the end of the day, like it's a fun storyline from a star's perspective to talk, hey, Jake always plays well with his back against the wall. But it was still just one game, one series against Calgary, and in a couple rounds. I mean, we're reaching the spot where this sample size is now legit. Like,
yeah.
His only NHL playoff loss when the team that would end the season is that game 7 64 save effort. Like, we're at the spot where, Jake is he's intense. He uses every slight. And back in the Minnesota series, I wrote a story about how Jake Ottinger lost a state title game in Minnesota and how he got pulled, he got yanked, and it was his final high school hockey game. And he is someone who uses every single little space and experience. And that is the type of experience that Jake had, where it helped fuel who he is today, where he doesn't want to be the one where he's going to be playing his final game and having to go into the spring and going into the summer. And he comes and he brings that when the season's on the line. And it's pretty damn impressive. Like, it really is. It's pretty damn impressive. And the way he can flip that switch, you'd love to see it. I mean, you don't want to have him. You could make on the quick side note, there's been too many times he's had to bounce back this year, but the fact that he bounces back so well and he does it when the season's on the line, it's like tonight, from when I look at the Ottinger stuff, I go back to look at his performance going back to game 4 as well, where he makes the glove save, where it's not actually a clean clutch. It's just a deflection late in the third period when the Stars are looking to force overtime, still waiting when overtime still is in the balance. And then tonight comes out and plays well. And then the Stars after Ottinger played like he did and the way he kind of helped eliminate some of the chances Vegas had in the first period, it felt like the Stars really settled down in a sloppy game. And I think a lot of that goes back to the goalie. So get me back on track, Evan. You know the job.
I will get you back on track, my friend. Here we go. Yeah.
There we go.
Cracking the frosty, baby. Celebration time. Just got beer over my new microphone, but that's okay. As the Stars force a game 6, and that is awesome.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another player that I thought had a standout game, Thomas Harley. 2 assists, but more importantly, I just thought the calmness on the ice, the way he took it out of the zone, the puck carrying rather than passing, I thought was impressive as well. Jumped into the offensive play a lot. I mean, I continue to see the growth of Harley. I can remember one game where I thought he struggled. I think that was against Seattle, but other than that, Sean, it's been real smooth. I look at the ice time for Harley tonight, 18:23. So clearly he's a major part of the defensive pairing situation for Dallas. So just so excited for the future with Mr. Harley.
I really liked one of the things I liked about tonight, and you don't, I liked that the Stars won this game with Miro Heiskanen only playing 25:33. I really like that. I mean, now 25:33 is a lot, but it's still, I like that that he wasn't taxed to 30 minutes tonight. And part of that was Harley playing a larger role. Part of that was, and the thing I liked too, that the Stars did, and it led to two of the goals directly. The Stars did a couple times in game four, but more so tonight. There was a couple times in the offensive zone by either design or the natural change where they had Heiskanen and Harley on the ice together. And I love that. That's something that the Stars, Rick Bowness would never do it when the Stars had John Klingberg, but Jim Montgomery, going back two coaches now, right? Jim Montgomery would at times put Miro Heiskanen and John Klingberg on the ice together for offensive zone draws. And I love seeing a coach do that because I think that unlocks so much of your offense. The it was the Glendening goal where they technically took the assist away from secondary assist away from Heiskanen because I think it was technically touched by a Vegas player as he passed it to Harley. But that's a play where you have two offensive defensemen creating off each other while Glendening and Foxa go to the net. Similar thing happened on the you had a similar kind of space on the Delandria goal too, where it was the Delandria goal where Harley and Heiskanen were both on the ice at the same time. I love that element, and I think it unlocks things. And to be clear, like, I also want to talk about one other thing real quick, something that happened tonight that the Stars haven't had, because he's taken a lot of crap from everyone, deservedly so at times, but and for his comments earlier in the series, but let's give Ryan Suter a bit of credit.
Yes.
For, I mean, he was really good tonight. Really good tonight. And Jason Robertson's goal, I know it's a good follow and finish by Robertson, but it doesn't happen without a clean zone entry by Ryan Suter. And that's a play that is not normal for Suter. So let's give credit where it's due on that. I mean, across the board defensively, the Stars were, Lindell was good tonight.
Yeah.
Hakanpaa was good. Yeah. Hakanpaa was good tonight. Joel Hanley played his game. I mean, overall across the board, the Stars defense was very good tonight. And it's, I mean, you got to feel good about it, right? So
yeah, I mean, it was a complete effort. I mean, we can go down the lineup. You're right. Kiviranta was really good. Olofsson, once again, played a good game. I thought Max Domi was real good, especially in the neutral zone. I thought Max Domi was kind of a disruptor on some of the Vegas breakouts and did a nice job back checking as well. Boy, getting out of the way for that Delandria goal.
Yep.
Which, you know, I mean, clearly the replay showed that he was pushed. So that's good. But that stuff happens when you're in front of the net. I do give Aiden Hill a lot of credit. I mean, that glove has a magnet on it with the puck. Those are spectacular saves. I did want to talk about, because they did focus on TV as far as the Delandria goal that took the lead 3-2. And as a former goalie, Sean, I'm guessing you're thinking Aiden Hill has to come out more out of the crease on that.
But it's a bad goal.
Yeah, but it was deflected. How much of a difference does that deflection make?
I mean, it changes it. Like, I'm watching it on mute right now as you brought it up right now, just so, like, to literally watch it again. And, like, Delandria enters the zone. It's a shot where Hill is just – I don't even mind Hill's positioning. He's a big body, 6 foot four. He's got it clean. It's a spot where even with the tip, he has to make that save. And I think it's, if you want to get all goalie coach on Aiden Hill on it, it's not as much the positioning of his body. It's the glove positioning. He's got very lazy glove positioning on it. And it's like, he's almost kind of caught off guard by Delandria shooting. And that to me is the bigger issue, if I'm breaking off my goalie coaching hat here, where your hands need to be more active. They're not fronting the play. And while I wouldn't mind him being a little more on top of the crease, to me, it's more the hand position issue. And that's a goal that, even if it's tipped, that can't go in against an NHL goalie. That you can't let that goal up. That is a, that is a bad goal. And that is a, I mean, that is a goal where it's a shame, because it takes away so much of, like, for as good as Hill was on so many other things, you got to make the saves on the easy ones too, because they all count the same.
Like, yeah, yeah, so. You're right. No, you're absolutely right. So this is the second game, Sean, that the referees have kept the whistles in the pocket. I didn't see anything egregious tonight that, you know, nope. I mean, I guess there could have been a couple if you really wanted to get into it. But I mean, those are kind of deep dives. I didn't see something like, well, clearly they didn't want to call that. You know, I mean, well, I think I mean, they just kind of let them play.
I mean, even the Marchment penalty against Carlson, that's a play where
fighting for the puck.
Yeah. And even one
or
where,
fighting
like,
for a position.
You may have not even seen that one called sometimes. Like, and this was that's another good point about this game where the Stars are, we've talked about how the Stars are the team that kind of needed special teams more than Vegas did, because Vegas is the better, has been, or relied more on their 5-on-5. And this was a dominant, even strength 5-on-5 performance throughout the board. And the Stars never even got a power play. So it's like, it's a great point to bring up, because it's not like you could even throw the asterisk, oh, they got this power play or this or whatever. No, this was a overall 5-on-5 even strength game, and I thought the refs did a good job. I thought it was a pretty clean game as far as the rules go. I thought the second period, there were times where the second period and third period got a bit sloppy, where I thought the ice looked a bit rough and players were clearly tired. But as far as the cleanliness of the game from the discipline standard, I thought the refs did a really good job tonight.
I think they're letting the boys play, and I think that's wonderful. And my dog Rico agrees. So you had your issue with the dog, and now I have my issue with the dog. But I agree. I think letting the boys play is the right way to go, especially deep in this series. You know, just for reference, Jack Eichel played 20 minutes tonight, so he's certainly on ice a lot. But it's kind of interesting he hasn't scored. I mean, he's certainly contributing a lot. I really like him as a two-way player too, Sean. I mean, I love his back-checking ability. It's just interesting because this is how, like, the series shifts as far as, like, what we talk about. Now we're at a point where Vegas has to be saying to themselves, like, we got to get our defensemen in the play. We have to create some more offense here because Dallas is getting their mojo right now.
And you look at where, I mean, Vegas had a couple, like, you look at the Vegas offense and you look where it came from. One of the things that, aside from the Barbashev goal, and then kind of the, and obviously they're both goals, so they make sense, but the, Vegas really wasn't getting to the net tonight the way they were earlier in the series. They weren't driving the net with possession. They weren't doing all of that. And to me, part of that comes from, I think Dallas did a really good job just kind of limiting how and where Vegas got into the zone and things along those lines. I think if you're Vegas, you're going to look at, okay, where did we have success tonight? And how do we get back to creating more off of those cutters, off of the zook clean entries, pausing, letting guys enter with speed? Vegas, that's how they scored their second goal. But Vegas didn't do nearly enough of that tonight, and that's what they've done earlier in the series.